handle the truth. Truth.
Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the bricklayer of free speech because we're laying these bricks of free speech and building a wall, and we're making not Mexico pay for it, we're making you pay for it. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, Round Rock, Texas, Jeepers, Creepers, I forget these things. Or phone it in, you can ask them the zip code, 784, I don't know what the zip code is. Anyway, then phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay, we've got Mark Collett standing by. Mark, welcome to the show.
Patrick, you've done some sketchy intros in the past, but that was the sketchiest of them all.
I've been shilling for David Duke, too, and I'm getting his zip code mixed up with RBN's zip code, and so I just had a brain freeze. But whatever. You got to do these things.
you have to do them, but... Yes. Anyway, have you got any pressing questions for me?
I have a pressing question. What's all this about Tommy Robinson being sentenced to 18 months in jail?
Well, I mean, firstly, people might have heard I went to the Tommy Robinson rally at the weekend and got ejected. Ejected, I tell thee. So that's something else to discuss at some point.
Why wouldn't they want you there?
Well, it was an interesting day, and it was there was some goods and bads from it all, to be honest, Patrick. I turned up, and I actually went in good faith. So I know that some people are going to say, look, Mark, you know, why did you go there? He obviously doesn't like you. You and him have had beef before. Why would you turn up when you're not welcome, et cetera, et cetera? But the fact is, I went there in good faith. It was meant to be an event about the political prisoners, about people who've been sent down recently in the UK for these minor infractions. Now, I turned up because I wanted to see this event firsthand. So I've never been to one before. And there was about somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people there. So it was a sizable event. And I would say, I was expecting just to be a face in the crowd. I didn't go there to hijack it. I didn't go there to sort of force my will on people. I went there just to be a face in the crowd, to talk to people and to have an enjoyable day and to give an honest opinion on it. I got there and I was immediately recognised by quite a few people. Independent media people were coming over. They were wanting to talk to me. They wanted to, like, hear what I had to say. And every time I open my mouth about demographics, about white minority status, etc., people were really interested, and people shaking my hand, wanting to hear more. I was warmly received. We got out a banner that said Free Sam Melia, and then we gave out loads of our what we call our 2066 leaflet, which is white Britons are set to become a minority by 2066. And all in all, it was going really well. And I'd done quite a number of press interviews, a lot of people around me, people shaking my hand, you know, people really happy that I was there. And then Tommy's security came up, and look, they were really polite. They were really nice. They were a little bit embarrassed about what was happening. You know, they were very pleasant to me. They didn't bully me. They didn't lay a hand on me. They shook my hand before I left and had a bit of a joke with me and were like, look, sorry, this isn't us. You know, we've been told that we have to remove you, but we don't want any trouble. And I didn't want any trouble. So I went, and I'd been there. I think I'd been there from about midday, and they asked me to leave at about 3 o'clock. And by that time, it was all winding down and a lot of the crowd were drifting away anyway. So we left. I gave a little speech on my way out, handed out some more leaflets. All in all, good day. There were some negatives. Now, a lot gets said about the Tommy rallies having Israeli flags there. And there was probably, you know, maybe half a dozen to 10 Israeli flags there, but they were dwarfed by the British and English flags, etc. There was also a lot of normal, good, normal people. That was probably the whitest area in London on that day. And there was a lot of people who turned up, women, men, families, people bringing their kids with, flags around their necks, waving flags. It was genuinely a family event. You felt safe there. You felt like you're around your own. Really good atmosphere. Really good day. Couple of minor wrinkles were that, number one, there was a bit of a smell of weed when I was walking around. Quite a few people were smoking drugs, I say quite a few, it was something you smelled quite often. I'm not saying everyone was doing it, and I wouldn't want that at my event. There was a few people drinking, with kegs of beer, big crates of lager. Again, I wouldn't really want that at my event. And those things are just sort of minor wrinkles and didn't really detract from a great day. But a lot of people would criticise me going to this and say, look, Mark, why are you supporting sort of kosher nationalism? Why are you supporting Tommy Robinson when he's a Zionist gatekeeper? Why would you support an event like this when it's a Civ Net event? But you know what, Patrick? One thing shocked me. I got there and everyone was stood by this pub called All Bar One, and they were all grabbing drinks. And these guys were doing an interview with a journalist about Islam. And I looked at the journalist and I caught his glance and I sort of pointed at him and says, me next. I sort of mouthed, me next. And he sort of nodded. And I had a big guy there with me who was sort of, one of my friends who was obviously there to sort of deter anyone that may have decided they were going to do anything to me. But no one did. So it was great. And he sort of walked over and put his hand on this journalist's shoulder when he finished interviewing. He said, look, you really want to interview this guy? It's Mark Collett, leader of Patriotic Alternative. And the guy was like, oh, brilliant. So he said, why are you here? And I said, well, I'm here to protest against mass immigration. I'm here because of demographic change. I'm here because white Britons are becoming a minority in our ancestral homeland. And everyone sort of turned around and started looking intensely. And you could see people nodding and putting their thumbs up to me. And one thing that I learned was Tommy's actually quite out of touch with his own fan base. A lot of these people want to hear the message that we've got. They want to hear about, I'm not necessarily saying the JQ, but they want to hear about things such as demographic change. They want to hear about mass immigration. When they get told, whites are becoming a minority and we need to do something about this, that is something that they're pretty invested in, to be honest, Patrick. And from your point of view, from my point of view, that's a positive. And I kind of saw like a parallel between the Trump rallies and the Tommy rally, and that Trump's up at the front talking about how we need to look after Jews, how we need to look after blacks, how we need to, put minorities front and center of our movement. But fundamentally, his people don't want to hear that. That's not what they want. They want to hear about demographics. They want to hear about mass immigration. They want to stop people coming into Britain. And that was really interesting. And since then, people in Tommy's camp have been making threats to me, sort of like, oh, if you ever come back, we won't just ask you to leave next time. We'll get you and we'll get you good. And all this kind of like guff. And I look at it, to be honest, and I see stuff like that as pretty pathetic. I was made so welcome by normal people. And it does really tell you sort of what a gatekeeping operation that is. The people running those operations know that their supporters absolutely want to hear about demographics, that they want to talk about the issues that we talk about, that they're trying to keep it back, keep all that back from them. They're desperate to stop their people finding out that there are people out there who are voicing these very reasonable concerns about white Britons becoming a minority. So all in all, I had a good day. I'm not embarrassed that I was thrown out. I kind of expected it. Although I kind of didn't as well, because I at first I was like, this could turn bad. What's going to happen? And then when I got there, I was expecting sort of like a big gulf between me and the crowd. And when there wasn't, I thought, well, this is going really well. And then I was asked to leave. But as I say, all this illustrated to me was that Tommy and the people around him, the people pulling his strings, are desperately trying to keep the big issue away from normal people. They're desperately trying to redirect people away from the topic of demographics and remigration and, you know, mass immigration, ensuring that white people will be not just a minority, but also be second class citizens. That was something else we pushed. So really interesting day. Now, Tommy himself wasn't there. And obviously he wasn't there because he had been rearrested shortly before. And, you know, obviously as he was rearrested, he was pretty much put in a position where he couldn't.
When was he rearrested?
He was rearrested the day before. And at that point, it was like, hey, you know, you're not allowed to attend, Tommy. That was pretty much what he was told. And he didn't attend. He didn't try to turn up. He wasn't allowed. You know, I'm not saying he's, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about him. I'm not going to say like, oh, he was a big fanny because he didn't turn up. Where were you, Tommy? Yeah, I'm not going to say that because that would be unfair to him. He obviously was told that if he turned up, he'd be immediately arrested. So he didn't. And, you know, I understand that, you know, he's been in quite a bit of trouble recently. And, you know, he's not going to be in a position where he wants to make things worse. And obviously, yesterday he was jailed for 18 months for contempt of court, which is, you know, probably what he was expecting. And, you know, he will serve that in a very, very non-white jail in Britain. Demographics will definitely mean something to Tommy now because of the prison that he's in. I think it's in Belmarsh. So that's a very nasty prison. That's one of the ones you wouldn't want to be in. It's not one of the ones that the northern lads that we know get sent to. They get sent to quite white prisons, but London, there aren't white prisons. There aren't white prisons in London. So you've got a bit of a problem there. And I look, I'm not going to put the boot in. Like I feel for Tommy in the sense that he is now in a really, really bad position. You know, he's in a place where, you know, he's in jail, but he's in jail because he flaunted an order not to speak about something. He knew that if he flaunted that order, he would go to jail. He has gone to jail. And, you know, obviously that's an interesting position for him personally to be in. And I look at this and think, obviously, he knew this was going to be the outcome, but he felt, you know, that it was worth fighting that, you know, regardless. So yeah, now he is in jail. I can explain it to you if you wish.
Question. So it's not as if he was specifically targeted and swept up, but that he was engaged in activities violating a court order. And knew that this was likely that he was bringing this upon himself. Is that a correct thing to say?
Well, what actually happened? That is correct, and I'll explain it. So some time ago, there was a young boy years ago. I made a YouTube video at the point. A Syrian schoolboy called Jamal, and Jamal got into a fight with some kids on the playground, and they emptied a bottle of water over his head when he was on the floor. Now, the press said they waterboarded him, which is just absolute lies. And Tommy went to the school, and Tommy heard rumours that the reason the boys attacked him is because he had attacked a girl at the school, and that the school was covering this up. And Tommy published this as an absolute truth. You know, Tommy published this and was like, look, this is what's really going on. This is the truth of the matter. You know, fundamentally, this boy, basically Tommy's narrative was this boy posed a threat to girls at the school. And he had him coming. And Tommy then published that. And Tommy published that on the basis that apparently plenty of people at the school had given him, including teachers apparently, had given him the same message. So the message was clear that, you know, this boy had been doing this. So the boy then, a sort of a swarm of lefty lawyers descend on this Syrian schoolboy and say, do you want to take him to court, etc., etc. So they take Tommy to court, and they win in court, and this boy wins two rulings. He wins £100,000 compensation from Tommy for defamation. And he also wins a court order. So that was the civil side. He also wins a court order that Tommy is not to repeat said defamation, that Tommy should not repeat said defamation again. And if he does, he will be in contempt of court. And obviously, Tommy's been found guilty of contempt numerous times. Now, this is where it gets sketchy. If Tommy had all these people as witnesses to say that Jamal did this, why weren't they in court? Why didn't he appeal the, why didn't he appeal the defamation case? Why didn't he appeal the court order? I don't know. But instead of appealing the court order, instead of fighting the defamation case further, what Tommy did is he made a documentary called Silenced, where he interviewed all these people. He put all these statements together and he put together quite a compelling documentary, which shows or backs up his claim that Jamal attacked the girl or girls at the school. At which point, and I've got to be clear, these are all just allegations. These are all just allegations. You know, I've not watched the whole documentary that Tommy's produced. I've watched snippets of it. So Tommy produces this documentary repeating these allegations, which the court had claimed were untrue, which he lost the case. He lost the case against the boy. But Tommy then makes this documentary repeating the allegations and backing them up with what he felt was evidence, a cast iron evidence. And he then plays this documentary to a crowd in Trafalgar Square of about, again, 5,000 to 10,000 people. And he's like, look, police, come and get me. Come and get me. I'm going to keep saying this because I'm telling the truth. And if you arrest me, you're arresting somebody for telling the truth. But at this point, they are potentially arresting somebody for telling the truth. I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of the case. I haven't really heard, both sides. I wasn't in court when Tommy was originally done for this. So I don't know. But what I will say is, at this point, he's goading the police. He's saying, basically, come and get me. Come and get me. Catch me if you can, basically. I'm putting middle fingers up at you all. And, I've got all this evidence. And not only have I showed this evidence to like 10,000 people live at this event, I'm also going to put it up on Twitter. So he puts it up on Twitter. And of course, Elon Musk, who's friends with these sort of CivNat types, he shares this. I think he shared it anyway. If I'm wrong about that, my apologies. But either way, it gets seen by 56 million people. Now, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And at this point, it is obviously not just contempt, but it's almost like gross contempt, if there was such a thing, because it's travelled so far and wide. His message has travelled far, far wider than it would have done if he'd have just repeated it on a chat show or, just done a simple tweet. In fact, it's now gone so far that everyone knows about it. Everyone's heard about it. It's all over the internet. And if 56 million people have seen it on Twitter, it'll be copied and shared elsewhere. So it's fair to say millions of people have seen it. So at this point, it's quite a serious issue from the court's point of view in terms of how far this has gone. So he gets rearrested trying to leave the country. He comes back. He then gets put in front of a judge. And the judge, and this is the bit where it gets all a bit sketchy, because Tommy raises, I saw one of the fundraisers was up at £95,000. So he raises, and there's probably others as well. So it's feasible to believe that Tommy had raised over £100,000. Some people are putting the figure at about £150,000, people I've spoke to. But the fundraiser I saw was £95,000. And this £95,000 was so that Tommy could fight. That's the thing.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
But the only fundraiser I saw was, you know, £95,000. And this £95,000 was so that Tommy could fight. That's the thing. Fight this case. So Tommy could go in and he had a legal team to fight this case. So Tommy turns up in court yesterday morning. All these people have donated money. He's going to fight the case. He's going to show the documentary in court. He's going to prove his innocence, etc. That in fact, he's not libeling anyone, that everything he's saying is true. And at that point, something really odd happens. At that point, instead of going not guilty, which is what everyone thought he was going to do, everyone thought he was going to, you know, go with the not guilty plea, that he'd raised all this money to fight it, etc. He goes immediately guilty. Now, he didn't go guilty early enough to get any time knocked off, but he did go guilty. So he got 10% off for his guilty plea. And this is the interesting thing. Now he's pleaded guilty, he's definitely going to go down because he's admitted guilt in front of the court. And when you do a guilty plea, you cannot challenge that. So if you go innocent or not guilty, should I say, you can challenge the ruling. You know, you can challenge the ruling. You can say, well, look, or you can challenge the outcome because, you know, you've entered a not guilty plea. But once you enter a guilty plea, you can't really challenge it to the same degree. So Tommy's now in this weird sort of position where, unfortunately, he's now in jail. His supporters are giving huge, huge amounts of money. He didn't fight. He didn't fight the case. And he's obviously his supporters are down quite a lot of money. He's going to keep raising money now for the foreseeable future. I should imagine he will keep raising even more money. Ezra Levant's the one who's raising it for him. And from here onwards, it's very strange, really, to, you know, it's a sort of a strange situation to be in, because Tommy is essentially, how can I say this? He's got everyone fired up that he's going to fight this case. He gets there and the judge makes this judgment, which I can read out to you about this. And the judgment is so clear that it doesn't seem there was ever a way to fight the case, which might seem odd, because if you're obviously if you're going there and you're raising money to fight the case, you would think there would be a legal way to actually fight it. But there wasn't. And he did get a very lenient sentence considering the amount of times he's been in contempt of court before. But this is the sanction. I'm going to read this. This is 3.1 from the judge's ruling. In a democratic society underpinned by rule of law, court injunctions must be obeyed. A party who has lost a case is entitled to appeal. They are entitled to disagree with the result. They are entitled to criticize the decision, but they are not allowed or they are not entitled to disobey a court injunction. Nobody is above the law. Nobody can pick and choose which laws or injunctions they obey and which they do not. If a person is convicted that an injunction, if a person is convinced that an injunction was wrongly granted, or is contrary to their views, or is contrary to what they regard as the weight of evidence, they must comply with the injunction unless or until it is discharged. They are not entitled to set themselves up as a judge in their own cause and simply breach the injunction. Otherwise, the administration of justice and the rule of law would break down. It is in the interests of the whole community that court injunctions are obeyed, so that the rights and freedoms that are enjoyed by individuals can be protected and enforced. The mechanism for sanctioning a breach of an injunction is regulated by common law, buttressed by statute and procedural rules. It is known anachronistically as the law of contempt of court. This has nothing to do with protecting courts or judges from criticism or contempt in the non-technical sense of the word. It has everything to do with enforcing the rule of law and facilitating the delivery of justice by protecting the integrity of legal proceedings. It does that by imposing appropriate penalties on those who interfere with, obstruct, impede, or prejudice the administration of justice. Where a contempt, and we're on 3.3 now, and this is the last I'll read, but he says, where a contempt application is brought for breach of an injunction, the court's role is fairly and independently to determine the application in accordance with the law and procedural rules. It is no part of the court's role to relitigate the issues which resulted in the injunction, or to review the judge's factual findings, or to second-guess the decision to grant the injunction, nor is it necessary to scrutinise the defendant's motivation for his actions. So what's happened here is, or what the judge is saying, is that fundamentally there was a way for Tommy Robinson to actually fight this case, and he should have fought it on appeal or raised a motion to get the case discharged. However, or to get the injunction discharged. However, what Tommy did instead was simply to decide that he was above that, present his evidence to the public rather than to the court. And once the evidence was presented to the public, he believed that that would be enough and goaded the police into arresting him, saying, look, you know, I presented all my evidence, now come and get me. And obviously that's not the case. That's not how it works. You know, there is a...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, dixierepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
That would be enough, and goaded the police into arresting him, saying, look, you know, I presented all my evidence, now come and get me. And obviously that's not the case. That's not how it works. You know, there is a, you know, as I've just read, you know, you cannot do things that way. So now he's been, you know, found guilty of contempt of court, and he arrives in the morning at the court, and he immediately changes his initial plea to a guilty plea. So I should imagine quite a few people in his camp will be pretty shocked, because they all believed that he was going to go there, present this new evidence, fight the case. And this raises more questions than it does answers, to be honest, Patrick, because Tommy has a very well-paid legal team, and he's surrounded by extremely intelligent people, including Jews who really do understand what they're doing. And I'm not kissing anyone's arse here, but, you know, it's not unfair to say that Ezra Levant knows what he's doing. Ezra Levant is an intelligent man. I believe he's got a legal background. Tommy will have a legal team. Why Tommy didn't challenge the initial injunction, why he didn't appeal, why he didn't attempt to get it discharged, is beyond me. Only him and his team know why he didn't do that. Instead, he went to the public with his evidence in the form of a documentary, and then he showed that documentary to the world, to some 56 million people, which is a huge number of people, at which point he's immediately guilty of breaching the injunction. Now, for right or for wrong, that puts, you know, Tommy in a position where he pretty much had to plead guilty. He couldn't plead not guilty. If it had entered a not guilty plea at that point, it would have been ludicrous because he would have had no grounds to enter a not guilty plea, because the whole case was about whether he did or did not breach the injunction. And that part of the case was open and shut. He absolutely did breach the injunction, and he's admitted to breaching the injunction. But then that raises the question, why did he raise £95,000 to fight the case when he knew he couldn't fight the case? And all these things are swirling around. All these different people are arguing about it. All these people are sort of saying, like, well, you know, he had to do that. You know, he's trying to raise awareness by going to prison, and by going to prison, you know, his story will be heard by a greater number of people. It'll be the Streisand effect. And, you know, Tommy fundamentally was telling the truth. He's proved to the public he's telling the truth. Now the public can see how broken the legal system is. But from a purely legal point of view, which is what we're talking about now, he had no hope of fighting the case, which is interesting because he raised money to fight the case, and he also goaded the police into arresting him. He literally, you know, said, come and get me if you dare, at, I mean, not those exact words, but he said, you know, he did say, come and arrest me. You know, I've said nothing wrong. I've proved my case in front of all these people. Come and get me then. And indeed, they did come and get him because he breached his injunction, which he wasn't entitled to do. And everyone was waiting for this big, big legal battle, which they believed was going to, you know, fundamentally change the course of, you know, potentially British justice, because Tommy was going to prove that he'd been telling the truth all along. But instead, Tommy promptly, you know, entered this guilty plea and was carted off to Belmarsh straight away for 18 months. Now, if you enter a guilty plea as soon as you're arrested, so if as soon as you're arrested, you say, look, it was, you know, you hold hands and say, yeah, it's me, my fault, I'm sorry, I don't want to run a trial, then you get 30% off, you get 33% off, you get a third off your sentence. Now, if you leave it till the morning of the case and you indicate that you're going to fight it, and on the morning of the case you say, look, I actually am pulling back from this, I don't want to fight it, you know, I'm guilty, Your Honour, there will be no trial, I'm throwing my hands up, you get 10% off. So he got 18 months, which suggests that his sentence was calculated at 20 months. He will serve likely 9 months in prison, and that's the end of it. And it's a very interesting situation because there are so many questions which I don't have the answers for. So from his side, I honestly don't know what to say, because, you know, his people will naturally be crestfallen because they all thought he was going to go in there and fight this to the death, which he hasn't. And they're going to be, some of them will be upset. Some of them on Twitter are coping and they're saying, look, you know, he had no choice. Then he's back against the wall. He's already proved his point. He's a martyr, which, you know, that's a reasonable point. If you want to make that point, that's a reasonable point. You know, he's a martyr to the system. The system were always out to get him. The system were out to hurt him, et cetera, et cetera. But from my point of view, I have seen some of the documentary, and some of it is compelling, to say the least. You know, it is compelling. But if you've got this compelling evidence and you can place it before a court of law, my question is, why didn't he place it before the court of law? You know, why didn't Tommy go in there and say, you know what, I'm going to appeal this? You know, say to his fans, look, I've spent X many months, you know, collating all this information, and now I'm going to go to the court and hit them with, you know, the need for a legal review of this case so that the injunction is formally discharged And once I've done that, I'm then going to come to you, my fans, and say, hey, guys, this is the documentary, and I'm going to play it in public and show them how I beat the case. I don't know why he didn't do it like that. But either way, he didn't. And now, you know, he's in jail for what will be 9 months, unless he doesn't comply. Now, if he goes to jail, he kicks off, he causes trouble, it will be more than 9 months. I don't perceive him to do that. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to go in there. I think he will comply with what he's told to do. And I suggest he does. You know, I'm not criticizing on that front. I'm not saying that he should go there and kick off or cause any trouble. He should keep his head down. He's going to be in solitary confinement in one of the blackest, you know, most Islamic prisons in Britain, Belmarsh. It's not going to be nice for him. Why they're making him serve his full sentence in London? I mean, obviously he committed the offence in London, but why they're making him serve a sentence there when he potentially puts his life at risk is beyond me. I think that's just spiteful, but he will be in solitary confinement. They'll be watching him closely. I don't think they're going to let Muslim groups, etc., get close to him, because if they did, they would probably harm him, you know. There are plenty of prisons where the population sort of 95% white. They tend to have prisons where they ship white sort of more politicized prisoners too, and they have prisons where they don't. So I know several people who are in prison, and they have shipped them to prisons where they will be safe for obvious reasons. You know, the prison service, you know, the prison service don't want deaths on their hands because that messes up, you know, their statistics. And I should imagine with Tommy, they'll be watching him closely to make sure he isn't harmed, because that could lead to riots. That could actually lead to people kicking off and causing, you know, huge problems for the state. But the whole of this tale is, for me, quite a conundrum, because I do think there was a legal path for Tommy to walk, but he chose to go down this route instead. And obviously this route is going to get him far more publicity. It's going to raise him far more money, but it isn't going to result in the establishment acknowledging that he was or was not telling the truth, you know. And he believes he was telling the truth. He believes he's presented the evidence, and the establishment is not going to acknowledge this. But he would have known that because he would have had legal advice. So I hope I've been clear on this. I've probably been a bit rambling because there's so much to explain. But if you've got any further questions, feel free to ask me.
Well, what does this do to his future? So you, like at the very end, you said, you know, to get him a lot of publicity, it'll probably help him raise a lot of money. But amongst his followers, is there going to be kind of a backlash that he raised money and then went and pled guilty? So what do you think this is going to do to the future of his movement?
I don't think it's going to hurt it at all. Now, some people are going to find this depressing, but I've got to be honest with everybody. I don't think this is going to hurt his movement at all. I think if anything, it would likely galvanize it. It would likely get more people on board. It would likely bring more people, you know, together behind him, because that's how it's always worked for Tommy. Tommy's got it's a strange thing. There's more people than ever and more really big names criticizing Tommy for this than ever before. So at one point, it was almost as if everybody was behind Tommy Robinson. You know, whatever Tommy did, people were behind him. People were fighting his corner, and people were absolutely, you know, like, look, Tommy's a hero. He can do no wrong, etc. Now, that has somewhat changed. And there's a lot of people who were once in Tommy's camp that are no longer in Tommy's camp because of things like this, because people are absolutely sick of this kind of thing happening again and again and again and again and again. And people feel as if they've been taken for fools. You know, people feel as if, you know, Tommy's more or less had a laugh at them because he'll take the money. And, you know, several big name, like, not ethno-nationalists, but several big name sort of civic nationalists have come out today. People that I wouldn't expect really to have come out. And they have said, look, this is wrong. You know, this has got to stop. People are giving this man huge amounts of money. He's not respecting that. you know, he's going to be looking at this and saying, you know, we're going to raise all this money off the back of it, and he's going to come out of prison, you know, very wealthy for all this. I mean, he's going to have costs to pay. I believe that he's got some £50,000 of court costs, because these sort of cases always take place in the High Court. So there are going to be substantial, you know, there are going to be substantial costs for him as well. But there's a lot that's going to be said about this, Patrick, and there's a lot of people getting very tired of this. Now, from my perspective, and people probably aren't going to expect me to actually say this, but I feel that, like, I've got to be true to myself and I've got to be fair to Tommy about this. Is Tommy's ultimately going to jail? Like, he may have bungled this up, and whether he bungled it up because this is a convoluted fundraiser, or whether he bungled it up because fundamentally he had bad advice or he went about things the wrong way, I don't know. You know, obviously I can't really you know, say, can I? Because I'm not in his head. He doesn't like me. He wouldn't speak to me. I've made overtures to him in the past and said, look, come and meet me. I invited him to my house for Sunday dinner recently. You know, I would be interested to talk to him and try to, you know, tease some of the truths out. But for whatever reason, he hasn't gone down a legally sound route. He's gone down this route that isn't legally sound. He's gone down this route that has resulted in him, you know, going to prison. But who knows why? Who knows why? But fundamentally, if you watch the documentary, he does appear to be telling the truth, you know, and that to me, it has got to be a big part of this. What was Tommy telling the truth? And if the answer is yes, Tommy did tell the truth, and the court has, for whatever reason, not, you know, respected that truth or gone against him for telling that truth, then, you know, as far as I see it, that's an injustice. And Tommy does present a wealth of evidence. You can see him talking to schoolgirls. You can see him talking to people in the community. It's alleged that he spoke to somebody, teachers at the school, who confirmed that this boy was bullying people. He makes all of these claims. He backs them up to, you know, what appears to be a credible degree. So whether you like him or you don't, and whether he went around about it the wrong way or he didn't, fundamentally, he is in prison for telling the truth. And whether we like him or not, whether we call him a sieve net or not, whether we say that, you know, he's let down his followers, and whether he's a Zionist gatekeeper, it really makes no difference. He is still in prison for telling the truth, and that is something that I can't abide by, regardless of his other views. And if I was to start saying that people should be in prison for telling the truth, I'd be going against my core beliefs. Now, there is sort of a flip side to this, though. The judge was relatively lenient because he's been done for contempt of court many times, and due to the fact he played it publicly, then uploaded it to X, he could have got a maximum of 4 years for this. And some people would say that, well, hey, he's done this multiple times, he's a repeat offender. You know, the size of the defamation, with it being 56 million people who saw it, you know, here it is. Here's the full, 4 years. But the judge didn't. The judge didn't. He said he was quite lenient. I'll read some more of the judgment. 3.19. There are 10 separate breaches of the injunction. It would not be appropriate to aggregate the sanction that would be justified for each individual breach. That would risk a disproportionate sanction. The correct approach is to assess the sanction that it is just and proportionate in all the circumstances to cover all the breaches of the injunction, applying with the appropriate adjustment the overarching guideline of the Sentencing Council on totality. So basically, he said, you know, you could have been hit with the full sentence, but he's not going to give him that, which is odd, because in 3.16, he says the defendant has not shown any remorse for his breaches of the order. It would be surprising if he had done, and any expression of remorse would have been likely to have required analysis before being accepted as genuine. It follows here there is no question of reducing the sanction on the grounds of genuine remorse as a mitigating factor. On the other hand, the absence of remorse and the defendant's insistence that he's done nothing wrong and is justified in breaching the injunction is not an aggravating factor. So the judge said, well, he hasn't apologised, but he also, despite the fact he's proud of it, I'm not taking that as an aggravating factor. The judge seems to have quite a degree of, I don't know how to put this, I don't want to libel the judge, but it seems the judge is being quite lenient towards him. I'll give you another point, 3.15. Further, there have been...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I don't want to libel the judge, but it seems the judge is being quite lenient towards him. I'll give you another point, 3.15. Further, there have been a particularly onerous impact on the defendant. He is well known, so are his views. They provoke considerable hostility. The prison governor has a legal obligation to take reasonable steps to keep the defendant safe. The discharge of that obligation may impact on the conditions in which the defendant is kept, reducing his ability to associate with others. In this respect, incarceration may be more onerous for him than others. I take into account evidence that was read to me by Miss Watts to the effect that previous incarnation had on the defendant's mental health. There is a further factor to consider when determining the impact of prison conditions. So he reduced Tommy's sentence on the basis he felt it wouldn't be good for him to go to prison. So it seems the judge has taken a very rounded take on this and has not hit him as hard as he could. Now, people can draw whatever conclusion they want from this, but from reading the actual judgment, and this can be found, you know, at www.judiciary.uk. I could, if people message me, I can send them the full judgment for them to read. You know, it's quite interesting to see that the judge wasn't really out to get him. And, you know, in other cases, judges have been. So the judge seems to have been in some way sympathetic to Tommy. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to the end of our time. Thank you for letting us know about that. Now, this coming week, you're going to have a live stream with Kevin McDonald and David Duke and Eric Stryker. Could you tell people what to expect or where to see that?
Well, that's on my Odyssey, that's on my Rumble, my DLive, and my Entropy, and that'll be going out at 7 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern this Wednesday. And I'll have David Duke, Kevin McDonald, and Eric Stryker. So we'll be discussing the American election. And, you know, join in. Come and join in. Come and join in. Ask questions. It's going to be a very big panel, and it's going to be a good night. So I hope you enjoy it for all those who jump in.
Sounds good. Okay, well, thanks for joining me, and I look forward to talking next week.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll see you then.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.